Hello and welcome to an emergency podcast of the Hoop Collective. We have another big trade and another big pairing joining me from Los Angeles, where he was walking the old Rouge carpet at the ESPYs last night, is Tim Band McMahon. McMahon, are you, did you close down the post ESPYs party?
Now. There was no red carpet walking for me. I walked some gray carpet at the after party. I'm not an award ceremony character, but an after party, I did pretty well there.
You're a character.
Fidel, the boss lady, Christina Daglas, Jackie Mack, letting her hair down. It's a good time.
Yeah, well, you like it when someone else is paying the freight for the drinks. That I know. And joining us from Oklahoma City, where everything has just changed in the last week, is Royce Young. So.
I'm still here.
You're still there. you haven't been traded for draft picks yet.
Not yet.
So, obviously, Russell Westbrook traded to Houston for Chris Paul, a 2024 and a 2026 first round pick, as far out as you could possibly go with picks. Both are top four protected. Two pick swaps, one in 2021 and one in 2025. Is that right? Or 2023?
I don't know. They have so many draft picks right now. I don't even know
right.
What they have.
Yeah, I have the list here just for record keeping. But 8 first-round picks traded for in the last week. But they added salary in this, so I assume that they're still...
No, it's a dead-even salary swap.
Is it? Oh, it's dead-even salary? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dollar for dollar.
Here's Oklahoma City's picks that they now own. They have a 2020 first-round pick from the Nuggets, which they just acquired for Jeremy Grant this week. They have a 2021 first-round pick that is of the Miami Heats, which is unprotected. They have a 2021 first-round swap with the Rockets. We'll see if that gets used. 2022 first-round pick of the Clippers. 2023 first-round swap with the Clippers. 2023 first round pick of the Miami Heat, which I believe is lottery protected, or at least top 10 protected. A 2024 first round pick of the Clippers. Those Clippers picks are all unprotected, by the way. 2024 first round pick with the Rockets, like we just mentioned. 2025 swap rights with the Clippers, which I believe is unprotected. 2025 swap rights with the Rockets. I don't know how I've never heard of a double swap rights. I don't know how. Basically, in that draft in 2025, the Thunder will have the choice of – I don't know if they can double swap or however that's going to work. I'm going to have to investigate that. 2026 first-round pick of the Clippers, 2026 first-round pick of the Rockets. They also – Royce, their picks this year and next year, 2020 – I say this year, the 2019-20 season. Their picks this year and next year – or at least this year, was top 20 protected, right? Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to finish inside that top 20 now. So they'll probably be able to keep their pick for this year with what they've done with this team. So that's the record keeping. Royce, yesterday, McMahon and I – and I don't like to just go over old ground. But yesterday, McMahon and I were sniffing around a story that the Rockets were trying to get Westbrook – and it was getting serious, and that the Heat, that Chris Paul might get rerouted to the Heat. Mm-hmm. That ended up not happening, although I would not rule that out now, because the ask for Chris Paul trade would be less than the ask for a Westbrook trade, and I think that the Heat are in play. So we knew that this traction was getting. Before we get into this, Royce, I just want to know what your reaction was when it all went down, and what's the reaction just in Oklahoma City right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was expected. The moment that Paul George was traded, Brian, I mean, this everything changed in terms of what the Thunder's future was and their trajectory. And I mean, let's be clear here. It's not like Russell Westbrook was wanting to stay in Oklahoma City. So at that point, it became about accommodating a player that had spent 11 years with them and shown immense amount of loyalty, and the Thunder wanted to do right by him. And, you know, one of the things I think that is pretty important to like recognize here is that, you know, the conversation between Paul George and Russell Westbrook, none of us have really a great clarity on what that looked like. But I can tell you that Russell Westbrook didn't try to change Paul George's mind. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's 100% assured in my mind that Russell Westbrook didn't try to re-recruit Paul George, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Russell Westbrook's ticket out of town as well. If Paul George was leaving, Westbrook knew what he could get on the back end of that as well. So the fact that it came to this, it's jarring in the sense of a week ago it seemed impossible that the Thunder would be without Paul George and Russell Westbrook, for crying out loud. And I think for a lot of people, they're trying to kind of look and say, okay, so what are draft picks and what year and how does that? But I think there's also a real tangible wonder of, okay, that's all great. And I think Sam Presti has obviously set the Thunder up for, another sustainable run at some point. But what are the next like 2 years look like? What does a February game against, the Orlando Magic look like in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder are 25 games under 500? That's something nobody has ever even dreamed of experiencing since that first season when nobody cared. So what does it look like in that regard? I think there's a curiosity there. But like you were saying about you and Tim, the Rockets were Russell's preferred place. That the Heat were involved, but the Rockets were where he wanted to go, and the Thunder wanted to get him where he wanted to go. And as of right now, I think that they are intending to keep Chris Paul, the Thunder are. I think that one of the reasonable questions to kind of ask from their perspective is, are the Thunder actually worse today than they were yesterday? They have Chris Paul, Danilo Gallinari.
I suspect that's a position the Thunder are taking. I don't believe that's a position that Chris Paul shares.
Yeah, right. And I think the most important words you said there were "as of right now." Chris Paul is not playing 3 years in Oklahoma City on a rebuilding franchise, but they're also not just going to. They've done a great job getting value for guys that they essentially had to trade. And honestly, the fact they got the two first round picks here, and it's just a cap neutral deal. Or even favorable, given that if the contract's one less year, that's solid, because there was a lot of question, like, okay, Russ, with that contract, can they get value? Now, there's also a lot of questions, like, number one, who the hell's going to star in the State Farm commercials with CP3? I mean, is it Stephen Adams?
Like, have been canceled. Harden's State Farm contract has been canceled.
Harden picked up Clutch's T-shirt cannon and pointed at old CP3 and escorted him out of the town. But, you mentioned this is where Russ wanted to go. This is essentially James Harden and Russell Westbrook getting together and saying, hey, let's reunite. Let's get back together. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, from what I understand, the night that the PG trade went down, that they got on the phone together and started working on it. So this is something that they were trying to make happen from there going forward. McMahon, I want to go back to in the wee hours, the last thing that we heard from James Harden as he was about to walk off the podium after losing Game 6 to the Warriors. Do you remember the cryptic thing that he said?
It's actually been retweeted a lot today. So let me find the exact quote here.
While you're looking, I'll just say, so this was after the Warriors pulled off that, magical win. Steph Curry went scoreless in the first half and then had 33, I think it was, in the second half. The Warriors were celebrating that night like they had won the title. And it was just an enormous failure, in my viewpoint, for the Rockets because, Harden is down and, the series is 2-2 when Harden is down. Not Harden. Durant is down. It's 2-2. Durant is down and they have a chance to win Game 5 at the end. They don't win Game 5 at the end. That's the night Steve Kerr called the Warriors bleeping giants. And then they go blow it at home. Mm-hmm. So that's the stage, and Harden, the last.
And then Harden, and not only do they blow it home, they blew it after going into the fourth quarter with a lead. Steph Curry lights them up. Harden and CP3, are doing a lot of bickering about the offense, the ball movement or lack thereof. And Harden says, "I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do. We'll figure it out this summer." I did ask a follow-up, and I said,
yes, you did.
Okay, what is it that you need to do? And he kind of muttered, basically, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Do you think that was trade Chris Paul?
You know, I think it very well could have been, but I also think that, obviously they shopped Chris Paul this summer. We all understand that and know that. But I do think there was an understanding of, you know what, you're just not going to be able to get basketball value for that contract. And so we're going to have to figure it out, going to have to make it work. And look, this was not, I don't believe, a consensus decision. I don't think if there was a silent vote, it was not going to be unanimous with the Rockets. There's a big risk here. I mean, obviously James Harden and Chris Paul James Harden and Russell Westbrook have played together before, but not when James Harden was a perennial MVP candidate and probably the most ball dominant player in the NBA. And so how does it fit with Russ being a non-shooter?
Yeah, Royce, Harden was a bench player when he played with Westbrook. They have played on Team USA together since.
Yep.
But
and they have a great chemistry between them. They are legitimately good friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like we say this about so many players, and then 3 years from now we're like, hey, hate each other. But Russ and Harden, I mean, they really are good friends. They weren't that great of friends, to my knowledge, in Oklahoma City. They got along really well, but they didn't have that long extended relationship that Durant and Westbrook did necessarily. And Durant was closer with Harden than Westbrook was with Harden. But one thing to what you guys are talking about, I mean, the fit is a huge question mark here. But I think Westbrook is finally going to adjust. I just knowing him.
You do? And
I think that this is going to force him in a direction where he's just going to have to. I don't think he could ever be. I don't think you could ever see that evolution, Brian, in Oklahoma City. It was too comfortable. It was too much his team. It was too much his style. And the whole franchise had his identity. And now he's going somewhere else where he's going to somebody else's team. And I think you're going to see a better Russell Westbrook next year. I don't know what that looks like per se, but I think that you're going to see him play differently just because I think he's going to be forced to.
And he did it just last year.
He did to a degree, yeah.
Yeah, to a degree. But here's the thing. It's not. Is he going to become a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter that defenses have to respect? Because it's not about whether he's going to adjust or not. It's about when James Harden is ISOing, do defenses have to respect Russ as a threat on the three-point line, or is that going to clog things up and impact the space that Harden has
to? They do not have to respect him as a three-point shooter. They want him to shoot threes.
Exactly. So that's the fit concern.
Well, I heard this story. Look, first off, I want to point something out. I know that it was reported that Chris Paul would wanted to trade a month ago. I don't think that is true.
He didn't. He did not demand. I can say that.
Right.
There was not a demand.
Okay. While I think Chris Paul was interested in leaving, and I think he's really interested in Miami, this was, and you have said this already tonight, but this bus was driven by James Harden.
Yeah, Chris Paul did not want to trade to Oklahoma City under these circumstances. Right. I can
and
promise you
that. He's coming home. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. He did play in Oklahoma City with the Hornets.
He was immensely popular, by the way.
His first 2 years, yeah.
Chris Paul is almost as important for the health of professional basketball in Oklahoma City as anybody else. He did a heck of a job establishing professional basketball in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. So, but I did hear this story about that Warrior series, which was I don't know if it was in Game 6 or I don't remember, but Chris and James got into it on the court, and it was just over a schematic thing, mm-hmm. where it was a spacing issue and. Somebody was trying, I don't remember, I assume it was Chris trying to post up, and he was standing too close to James, and it was allowing any too easy of a double team or whatever, and Chris barked at James. And James turned to him, this is described to me by another player who was on the court, and he said, "With you, it's always effing something."
Yeah. No doubt that James basically got tired of hearing Chris bark.
Right. And it's not even like that was that moment, but he's had issues in the past with his teammates. And so is Harden. I mean, they're two hard guys to play with, and Westbrook's had issues with teammates in the past.
Absolutely.
And this is an interesting trio to be involved in a deal, because basically Harden and Westbrook, you know, now they're saying we're buddies, and you know, but it was Harden and Paul who didn't get along. Like, what makes them think that it's going to work any better? This is kind of like, the Kyrie KD marriage. Mm-hmm. They're singing Kumbaya right now, saying, "Yeah, we are going to be great together. We love each other." But they've had issues with their teammates all along.
Yeah.
So why? I mean, especially on Kyrie's part. So why are we expecting this will be any different? So I just don't know. I mean, I will say this: when they traded for Chris Paul, I was a skeptic that Mike D'Antoni could get it to work. And he did get it to work, especially that first year. They were phenomenal together. And Chris Paul is not a stretch the floor specialist. It worked. So I'm not going to deny its possibility. But boy, do I not see this fit. And I guess Houston got off of one of the most undesirable contracts in the league. So in their point, they at least did that. But I will say it's pretty amazing that they literally signed Chris Paul last summer, not 3 years ago, mm-hmm. last summer. And they had to incentivize two first-round picks and two swaps in this deal to get the Thunder to take that contract.
And look, it's no secret that Tillman Fertitta's had buyer's remorse on that contract since pretty early in the season. I mean, that's no secret whatsoever. You know, I mentioned that in the story that I wrote about the Rockets a few weeks after they got bounced. Two first round picks to give up, to take back. You talk about unfavor or undesirable deals. It's not like their teams were lining up to take on Russ's deal either.
There's
a lot of risk there. That's $171 million. It's the same contract, but a year longer. So there's risk there as well.
Brian probably, heard a lot of the same stuff, but around the league, there was people that wondered if the Thunder might have to attach one of their picks if they really wanted to move Russell Westbrook somewhere, especially because all the money was dried up and there wasn't a lot of a value seen in his contract at this point because of what you said. I mean, $47 million when he's 34 years old made Russell Westbrook a little bit of an albatross player, that he was just going to be hard to move. So, you know, and I think that for the Thunder and this whole trade and how it kind of happened, also, I think it's important to note that, like, the Thunder were trying to send Westbrook to the place he wanted. So there wasn't this, like, market of offers coming in where, they could sort of try to leverage one situation against the other to some degree. But Westbrook wanted to be in Houston, so they were trying to get him there. And really the only leverage the Thunder had was to say, okay, fine, we won't do it. We'll just wait till December 15th when a lot more teams can make this trade. And, you know, Houston was obviously motivated for a lot of those factors that you're talking about, Tim, not just, I think, that how they might – be curious to see how this is going to work, but they also get rid of Chris Paul.
They may have just been motivated by James Harden.
You're right.
Yeah. It may not have been
when
Chris
Paul.
When
the face of your franchise says, get it done, and the owner is on board as well, if you're Daryl Morey, you get it done.
So, you know, let me just say a couple things. One, you know, in talks with Miami, the Thunder wanted a couple of assets in addition to taking on the salaries that they were going to take on. They were not just going to do it for Goran Dragic and Kelly Olynyk. Okay.
Right.
Actually, it was going to take more than that. They wanted, you know, the Heat in my mind have three young players that people want. By the way, the Heat are forbidden from trading another first round pick. Unless they take the protection off the pick that they owe the Thunder in 2023, they literally cannot trade another first round pick. So that was not an option. So they have Tyler Hero, who's lighting up summer league. They have Justice Winslow, who's an okay prospect on an okay contract. He doesn't excite me. And they have Bam Adebayo, who played so well at the end of the season that the Heat became desperate to trade Hassan Whiteside. And, you know, the Thunder really wanted at least one, if not two of those for Westbrook. And the Heat were like, I think what you just said, Royce, was like, hey, how about you actually send us a pick
right.
to have to take on this contract? And so that was just sort of an impasse. Now I wonder, with it being Chris Paul, you know, he just, you know, can he be traded to Miami? We just saw that they had to incentivize two firsts. I would think that Miami would want something in the same neighborhood. If that's the market for moving off of Chris Paul, and that was getting an all-star back.
Yeah. I don't know how motivated the Thunder are going to be to move Chris Paul, at least, you know, instantly. I don't know that, and I don't think it's a comparable situation to Westbrook, because, I mean, obviously, look, Chris Paul's going to have a lot to say with this, and he's, you know, however he might feel, could highly influence the way the Thunder feel about this. But at the same time, I don't know that they're like, okay, time to move Chris Paul. Now where does he go? Because, yeah, like, they're in asset collection mode here. And so I don't think they're like, let's just get rid of Chris Paul and have to attach a pick for it. I don't think the Thunder are going to be motivated to do anything like that.
I think Chris Paul will see what he can do to motivate them. Yeah. I think perhaps the longer that they
live. Is anybody taking a buyout with 3 years left on their contract? Is that possible?
I mean, I wouldn't take a buyout if I were him. And also, I see people talking about, could they stretch him? Absolutely not. That would be the worst idea in the world. It'd be a 7-year stretch.
Oh my God. And $125 million? Are you kidding me?
No way. I just want to say that real quick. The other thing is,
What about the Lakers, though, Brian? I mean, like, once December rolls around, how motivated do you think they might be for Chris Paul?
Well, I guess it would depend on how they're doing. I think it would completely hamstring them. If they could, you know, get some picks back, you know, in taking him, I think that would be interesting. But I just don't see the Thunder doing that. But, you know, who knows? The league changes very quickly. One other problem that I think existed that may have just been somewhat solved here, I don't think Westbrook and Billy Donovan were on the same page at the end of the season.
I think you're 100% correct in that.
And I'm not so sure that that was a marriage that was going to last too much longer going forward.
I tell you, it's going to be interesting with Mike D'Antoni, because, you know, I don't know how much Mike D'Antoni was consulted on this. As of now, he is entering into the last season of his contract. You know, he no longer has to kind of manage the complications of the friction between James Harden and Chris Paul. But, you know, the sense I got was that D'Antoni felt like their best path was moving forward with the same pieces. And so it'll be interesting to see how and if he gets on the same page with Russ.
Well, Westbrook is a hard guy to coach. He is a hard guy to coach. You've got to really have a lot of patience. My instinct, I didn't like Westbrook playing with Butler, for quite frankly. I didn't think that was going to be a good marriage. I thought the Heat getting into that might have been a mistake, especially if they were going to have to give up a couple of good, what, you know, whatever they had left in the cupboard. Mm-hmm. But I really don't like Harden and Westbrook. But I'm gonna hold back and wait and watch.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot better with them moving Chris Paul instead of if they'd have done some kind of Gordon, Capella, et cetera. To me, like, at least it's position for position, and you're not gutting, you know, the pieces that you know fit well with Harden.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, look, Westbrook and Harden both are immensely motivated to try to make this work. And I think, quite frankly, Westbrook has more on the line to make it work than Harden does. So to me, that's why I think it suggests a little bit that Westbrook might have a willingness to adjust, just because these are two players that, you know, have faced a lot of criticism. And I think that they view this as an opportunity to rewrite the narratives on themselves together in some way. So, and I think their relationship is going to help that fact. But like Brian said, I mean, like, the on-court fit is what it is. These are two players that usage rates up in the mid 30s. They want the ball in their hands all the time. They want to rebound everything. They want to pass. I mean, they play their style, and that's going to be at the core of who they are. And, you know, I think that we legitimately might see the first tug of war on a basketball court as two guys wrestle over the basketball at some point.
Well, the issue is both of them like to get the rebound and bring it up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a major factor. All right, two things before we go. First, what happens now with Steven Adams, Royce?
I think that they're more likely to keep him than not at this point, just because look, they went from 10 days ago, Brian, they had one of the most expensive rosters in the NBA, and now they're within arm's reach of getting under the luxury tax. So I don't think that they view Adams' contract as something that they necessarily just have to pull the plug on, because all they are is Andre Robertson or Patrick Patterson away from getting under the luxury tax threshold. And look, they're going to get under it. They're not going to pay the tax for this team. I don't think that they're going to trade Steven Adams in any kind of financially motivated deal. And I'd also point out, he's 25 years old. So, like, if you reset your culture, he's not a bad guy to have around.
And I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and for some reason, I thought Adams was 28, 29. They said, and they were kind of, the point was, hey, he can be part of this, you know, rebuilding thing. Like, the timeline still fits with him.
And he's the same age as Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, same age as Clint Capella.
Yeah.
And well, let me ask you this. It's the in thing to do to ask the Thunder for a trade. Is that in his makeup?
That's a good question. I know Steven pretty well, and I would believe it not to be. I think that he is like, I mean, honestly, like the New Zealand culture, you've written about it, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like there's like a loyalty team first identity to, like, that's how the All Blacks are. That's just kind of how Steven Adams was raised, I think, in some ways, in terms of sports teams. So I don't think he would, but.
Yeah, the Australians and the New Zealanders, they sort of have a rugby mentality, which is shut up and play.
Yeah, I think there's just like a code. Like, it doesn't, you just point in the right direction. Tell me when I'm playing, tell me when I'm not.
Andrew Bogut's Australian. He doesn't shut up very often. He plays, but he doesn't.
Well, that's true. But I mean, he's
a different cat.
Yeah, that's true. He's a bit of an outlier. So what about now? Last thing here. Where do we see the Rockets now in the hierarchy in the Western Conference? While they gave up draft control in a 4-year thing, they gave up draft control here. Their roster got better.
They got the better player in the deal.
Right. In aggregate, their roster got better. For all the big dreams that they had of this offseason, they didn't have to give away Eric Gordon. They didn't have to give away Clint Capella. They're better. So
yeah, they were able to bring back Austin Rivers, which is scoff if you want, but that was significant.
Yeah, he was really important for them. Did they get him for the minimum?
They did. And, you know, as much as people say guys don't want to play with James Harden, James Harden helped convince Austin. Like, Rivers wanted to come back to Houston, and he's been talking to Harden a lot, and Harden convinced him, look, do you want to sign for $5 million somewhere on a longer-term deal, or bet on yourself, come back here, let's contend.
He
wanted to stay there.
Yeah, no, I get it. I he was important for them, was an important pickup. Okay, so McMahon, where do you see them?
With
the Clippers sort of in my mind out front right now, but
yeah, I don't know that this necessarily moves the meter a whole bunch, simply because I thought that the Rockets are on a pretty short list of teams that are legitimate contenders. Regardless, I agree with you. The Clippers are the favorite. Obviously, the Lakers are up there, and to me, the Rockets are right in the mix with the Jazz. With, perhaps the Nuggets, we can mention the Blazers if you want. I kind of see the Blazers maybe on the fringe of that. And then a couple teams in the East, the Bucks and the Sixers. The Rockets have a chance. I mean, they have legitimate championship aspirations. I think they're probably a 3-4 seed in the West, and then see what happens come playoff time.
Yeah. That's the critical thing to me, Brian. I mean, look, the Rockets had a great, especially last three quarters of the season last year. They were as good as any team in the NBA. And really, the overarching storyline here is this is two players coming together that have done well in regular season situations, but their failures in the postseason is what has kind of written the book on them. So I think the Rockets will win a lot of games in the regular season in terms of the pecking order. Yeah, I think 4-5, maybe 3-4. I don't know. I think they're going to win a lot of games. Westbrook is incredibly durable. He's far more durable than Chris Paul. He plays a lot of games, even though he had another knee procedure this summer. I think you can anticipate Russell Westbrook's going to play 75-plus games, whereas Chris Paul, you didn't really know. So I think that'll help the Rockets in the regular season. I think they'll win a lot of games there. But how do they perform in the postseason? I don't know if whatever their style becomes is going to be something that translates to postseason success.
Yeah, I mean, I felt they were – were the second best team in the West last year, and they did not demonstrate that in that Warriors series. That was a very disappointing moment for them, because I thought that was their chance, in my mind, that with Durant down, that was their chance to slay the Warriors and go, you know, make a run towards the title. And they just let me down so, so much. And so I can understand why they came into the summer looking to shake things up. And now they have. I just, like I said, I'm not in love with the fit. But, you know, there's more than one ways to, you know, skin a cat or whatever you want to say. So we'll see how that goes. All right. I think we may be done, although there's a Chris Paul uncertainty that could be out there. We have some. But I think that may be it. But, you know, when you look at, you know, what happened here, it's the Western Conference over the last 10 days has been the most volatile situation of star movement. This is just peak star movement. We've seen stars basically change teams every single summer since 2010. And this summer, the star movement was crazy. And, I mean, think about all of the all-NBA players that moved this summer.
Yeah,
Durant was an all-NBA player. Kyrie was an all-NBA player. Westbrook was an all-NBA player. Paul George was an all-NBA player. Kawhi was an all-NBA player. That's five. Am I forgetting any? Oh, Kemba Walker was an all-NBA player. That's six. To see six all-NBA players move in a 10-day period. And Anthony Davis wasn't an all-NBA player, but he is an all-NBA player. So I'm going to put him in there. Just to see that movement is just incredible. So,
And by the way, of all the places for Russ to go, he was probably most hated. I mean,
I know.
Houston's up. There's other places. But Houston, way in now. Suddenly, those triple-doubles are super relevant for the Rockets PR staff after
result to
a few
winning.
Years ago.
Rockets fan. Daryl Morey was somebody out there talking about arbitrary numbers and how nine doesn't mean.
no more scoffing about arbitrary numbers.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I just remember, you know, at the end, was it the NBA Awards? Or what was it recently where Daryl, Chris Paul, and I think Tad Brown, the Rockets president.
That was last year's NBA Awards.
No, but
you're talking about where they got together and was like, and were like, oh, drama, all that whole thing.
But didn't that just happen again? The report of the Chris Paul demand had gotten.
I don't think so. Did Chris go this year? I know
that happened again. I think like PJ Tucker was there and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. They were posing for photos with smiling and everything like that. I still have emails probably from Daryl. Making the pleas to vote for Harden over Westbrook and all the reasons why. So life comes at you pretty fast.
There's a delicious irony to it, and it's wonderful.
Yeah,
life comes at you like Russell Westbrook on a fast break.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this Hoop Collective special emergency pod. Who knows when we'll talk to you next.
Adios, amigos.